of many thousands among men, one remains ever for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Please repeat after me. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection.
One may endeavor for perfection.
And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth.
Hardly one knows me in truth.
Okay, so report by Srila Prabhupada.
Muted.
Yeah, thank you. There are various grades of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, and hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge and understanding the self, the super-self, and the process of realization by Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, where this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is a supreme person, but at the same time, he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. The yogis and the jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Sankaracharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such, for it is very difficult to know Krishna even though one has transcendental realization of impersonal Brahman. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sorry, bear with me here. I'm sorry, just something came up here. Attend to. Oh, what happened to me? Sorry. Okay, let it go. All right. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. The primeval Lord Govinda, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It is very difficult for the non-devotees to know him. Although non-devotees declare that the path of bhakti or devotional service is very easy, they cannot practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy, as a non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they do not take up the difficult path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not so easy. The so-called path of bhakti practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti may be easy, but when it is practiced factually, according to the rules and regulations, the speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 101, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Dingvina, Aikantiki, Harer, Bhaktir, Utpatayai, devotional services that ignore the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and the Narada Pancharatra simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. It is not possible for the Brahman realized impersonalist or the Paramatma realized jnani, Paramatma realized yogi, sorry, too many screens up here, To understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda, or the charioteer of Arjuna, even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. Muyanti yat surayaha. Mang tu veda na kashtana. No one knows me as I am, the Lord says. And if one does know him, then sa mahatma sa durlava. Such a great soul is very rare. Therefore, unless one practices devotional service to the Lord, one cannot know Krishna as he is, tatvata, even though one is a great scholar or philosopher. Only the pure devotees can know something of the inconceivable, transcendental qualities of Krishna, or in Krishna, in the cause of all causes, in his omnipotence and opulence, and in his wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees. He is the last word in Brahman realization, and the devotees alone can realize him as he is. Therefore, it is said, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhave Grayam Indriyai Sevo Mukhe Hi Jivadao Swayameva Sparatyada. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-234. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschidyatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mang veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So let's pull up my notes. So this knowledge is very, very rare. And one who has attained it is fortunate to even hear about it. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that one who is transcendentally situated in pure devotion is very rare by gaining this knowledge, because understanding Krishna is very difficult, even though non-devotees, such as the impersonalists, think or say that it's very easy, they cannot take it up. It's only because Krishna is benevolently inclined to his devotees do they understand something about him up to their capacity. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada starts off by pointing out that there's various grades of men. Now, we have been reading in the first chapter of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, titled Teachings to Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that there are two types of living entities: those that are eternally liberated and those that are eternally conditioned. So of the eternally conditioned living beings, it is stated by Krishna that they are sarvagya. Sarvagya, which means they're all over the place. You cannot find any place in the universe where there are not living entities. I was doing some research this morning on microorganisms. You know, because we're so fucked up, we got this ego, we think we're the center of the universe. Well, if you look under a microscope, you start to get some sort of an idea of just how many living entities there are that we can't even see. You know, like a microorganism, right? That's a one-celled organism, like a virus or a fungi, bacteria. If they're measured to be 1/25,000th of an inch. In other words, if you took a bacteria cell and you put them side by side in 1 inch, 25,000 of those critters would be in there. 25,000. That's just like if you took 25,000 people and you lined them up shoulder by shoulder, have any idea how long that would be? 18 miles. That's like, well, for those are the Big Island, that's like almost to Hilo. Anyway, it's a long way. The drive would take you at least a half an hour. Even to see that kind of a microorganism, you have to have a microscope that's at least 800 power or more. And that would be just like, you know, if you blew yourself up 800 times, you'd be looking down at the earth and it'd be like a little dot. So you can just understand that how pervasive living entities are, how many there are. There's also a description in the Bhagavatam about when the demons and the devas, they went to the ocean of milk and they started churning it, the ocean of milk, using the Mandara Hill, the pastime there. They were standing in the ocean of milk and it was up to their waist. So non-devotees may be thinking, what are these descriptions? How an ocean can be up to somebody's waist? How they could be so big? Well, you just think about these microorganisms, how small they are compared to us, and you get some sort of an idea. So our point here is that just think about how many living entities are there, these eternally conditioned living beings. And the eternally conditioned beings, there are two types. There are the moving and the non-moving. The non-moving, just like trees and plants, all those kind of things, spongy, they're called stavara. In the Padma Prana, it's described as, or is it Padma Prana? Anyway, it's described as a stavara laksha vinshati, which means there's 200 different species of trees and plants. And then amongst the moving, those are called jagama, or moving living entities like birds and beasts. There are three categories. This is all, we just read this. It was in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that there are those that fly in the sky, those that swim in the water, and those that walk on the land. So, out of many millions and trillions of those on the land, the human beings are only a very small portion in number. And most of them are totally ignorant about spiritual life. They're unclean in their habits. They have no faith in the existence of God. And they're just like animals. On a lecture I just listened to, Srila Prabhupada talking about this verse, he pointed out that anyone who does not understand that they have nothing to do with this body, that they're eternal spirit soul, they're animals. He said, sa eva gokara. You know that verse, yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatake. So it says that sa eva gokara, they're just like cows and asses. You know, what can they understand? You know, just eating. Or is laboring. In a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave on this verse in February of 1974 in Bombay, just to give you some sort of perspective, I mean, I try to relate how numerous living beings are by, you know, just citing how many are an inch in on a slide on a microscope. In this lecture, Prabhupada pointed out that A lakh is 100,000. So when, in this verse, Krishna says, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, to give us an idea, a lakh is 100,000, and then you multiply a lakh by 100, and that's a crore. So in this verse, when Krishna is referring to Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kashchid Yatati Siddhaye, what he's talking about is that there are literally hundreds of thousands of crores of living entities, and then out of, or in other words, like billions and trillions, that's how he describes it, and manusyanam, of the human beings, they have to wait many, many millions of years before they get the human form of life. In the Padma Purana, Srila Prabhupada would often quote this verse. Let's see. I don't have it memorized, but it's. I'll just read it here. It's asitin chaturas chaiva laksham tam jiva jatisu. This describes how the living being gradually evolves through all kinds of species of life till it gets a human form of life. So the human form of life is very, very difficult to attain. And then it's difficult to find even a few human beings who believe in the scriptures or the existence of God or what to speak of proper behavior. But of those that are the best are called Aryans, or one who follows the scriptures. And of the Aryans, there are two classes. One is the righteous, and the other is the unrighteous. So of the righteous, those means those who have righteous activities or execute fruitive activities to attain sense gratification. So you narrow that down again. This is all being described, what we just read in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Out of many such persons, only a few come to know the absolute truth, and those are the jnanis, empiric philosophers. And out of many hundreds and thousands of such empiric philosophers, only a handful actually attain liberation. So when one is liberated, he theoretically understands that the living entity is composed of material, is not composed of material elements, but is spirit, soul, and distinct from matter. And simply by theoretically understanding this doctrine, one is called liberated, but in actually a mukta or liberated soul who understands his constitutional position as the eternal servant of the Lord is very rare. And of such liberated souls, when such liberated souls engage with faith and devotion in the service of the Lord, they are called Krishna bhaktas or Krishna conscious persons. So that gives us some sort of an idea how rare this knowledge is. There is a nice summary of the Bhagavad Gita that I have, Mother Urmila wrote. She points out some significant points. In the previous chapter, Krishna ends with glorifying all different types of ways of living, and he points out that yoga is the best way to live. There are fruitive workers, but above that there's the empiricists, and above the empiricists there's the aesthetics, and then better than the aesthetics is the yogi. And he stresses how amongst the yogis, one who always is thinking about him in love and devotion, has full faith in him, they're the highest of all. So that's where he concludes his analysis, that yoga is a combination of action and knowledge. Then, in order to meditate upon the Lord with faith, one requires knowledge of him. So therefore, we begin the seventh chapter. Sambandha. The knowledge of the relationship, that is more explained more in depth. So Krishna, first of all, explains in the beginning of this chapter that there's three types of energies describing himself to meditate upon who he is. There is the apara prakriti, para prakriti, and then there is the param ishvara. So the living entities and material nature and then God himself. But that Krishna is the origin of matter and spirit, although he himself has no origin. He's beginningless. And he's a source of all energies. Then after that, later on in this chapter, he's going to list the essence of all things and that he's the cause of all of these things, that he's the origin of the modes of material nature that produce all the wonderful things that we see in this world. And then there's this very nice verse that we're going to come up on, the 12th verse of this chapter. It goes like this: Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajas tamasas chaye matta evati tandevi natvaham keshu kemai. Know that all states of beings, be they of passion, goodness, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent, and I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are, on the contrary, dependent on me and within me. Okay, I'm almost done. I just wanted to point out that I studied a little bit of Burijan's summary about this verse and this chapter. By the way, if anybody ever has a chance to look at Burijan's study course in the Bhagavad Gita, it is really good, very, very helpful. Anyway, he points out that in this chapter alone, there's two different places where Krishna describes the rarity of this kind of transcendental knowledge, in verse 19 and in verse 26. In verse 19, Krishna says, Sa Mahatma Sadurlava, that one who knows this is very, very rare. You know, that's the one that begins with Bhavanam Janmanam Ante. And then in verse 26, he describes that he knows everything, but no one knows him. Mang tu vedi na kashtana. So that's the one that's Veda hung samak titani vartamanani charjuna. And I know everything past, present, and the future, but me and all living entities I know, but no one knows me. So in two ways, he's describing just how rare it is to have this kind of knowledge of him. And then Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he describes, it is not possible for the Brahman realized impersonalist or the Paramatma realized yogi to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda, or the charioteer of Arjuna. Even the great demigods are sometimes confused about Krishna. And then he says, Muyanti Yatsuraya. And then Mangchu Deva Nakashtana, one who knows me as I am. So anybody that does know Krishna is Samahatma Sudurlava, or a very rare soul. So actually, I finished that off a lot faster than I thought I would. So I generally have probably quite a bit smaller classes. They don't last as long as others, but why don't I stop at this point and ask if there's any questions or comments about this verse.
Hi, Krishna. My name is I just, from the very last comment you made, I noticed that Srila Prabhupada's classes usually were very short, you know, and say average, actually somebody else confirmed it, average, say, 25 minutes. So he gave some amazingly short classes, but they were extremely powerful. I like what you said about the, you know, the relative sizes of the living entities. It's quite, you know, extraordinary, the microbes, and, you know, it gives us some understanding of just how many we are, just so many. And I was also thinking about, you know, the difficulty of knowing Krishna, like you've described there. And I was thinking that whilst when Srila Prabhupada was here, I mean, even in our own lifetimes, you know, he was really somehow or other we have some understanding of how amazing he was, how extraordinary he was as a person, as a human being, from his activities and his achievements. Like when he said that his miracle is like making Western devotees Vaishnavas, and so many things that he did, Radhayatras in various countries. And I was just thinking that even when he was here, you know, so many people saw him, but they couldn't really understand just how amazing a personality he is. And even since he left, we have so much knowledge and people researching on so many things that somehow he escapes them. So it helps me to understand a little bit about how difficult it is to know even Krishna, because if you can't even understand his representative, you know, what hope is there of understanding him? Would you like to say something about that?
Well, I don't know what I could add to that. That's wonderful. We're just incredibly fortunate to have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, after wandering throughout the universe from millions and millions of births, one comes in contact with a devotee of the Lord, and by the grace of the devotee, then he gets Krishna. I forgot it. Brahmande Brahmite Konu Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Laka Beach. He gets the seed of devotion. That's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. Yeah, very, very fortunate.
Yes. I was just wondering, you know, how it is that with all the modern knowledge there is, and people, Srila Prabhupada's activities are like escaping, you know, the modern people, like somehow or other, he did so many great things, but they still can't see that this is a very special person and have some interest in him, like the media and things like that. But maybe the time will come, I suppose.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're saying, how is it possible that others don't recognize?
Yes, it's interesting that others are not seeing his wonderful activities, and he's not catching their attention, or he's not getting their attention somehow or other. You know, because there's so much, you know, research out there and so much media out there these days. And you think that, you know, we have big BBC stations here, which are, you know, like at the forefront of giving knowledge and things like that, very powerful stations, you know, so much money being spent on broadcasting knowledge. And somehow or other, he doesn't come in anywhere. So I'm just saying that it's quite amazing that, you know, people like that, they just escape attention. And Krishna is like that. He just escapes people's attention, how amazing he is.
Well,
yeah.
According to this verse, Manushyanam Sahasresu, that amongst the human beings, one who's endeavoring perfection is very, very rare. So it shouldn't be difficult to understand that, you know, people's attentions are diverted to all kinds of things that are not good for them, because if they don't understand self-knowledge, and they're just like animals, they have a go-kart. So their attention, unfortunately, is going into media, diversions, entertainment. Imagine after waiting so many millions and millions of births, we get this human form of life, and then we don't utilize it for self-realization. Yeah, it's just a pity. That's where it's so incumbent on us to somehow or other help spread Krishna consciousness, preach Krishna consciousness, so people become aware of how they're wasting their lives, you know, without taking advantage of self-realization. Only then will they be able to understand what a precious gift Srila Prabhupada has brought, you know, through the cyclic succession. That's,
yeah. Hare Krishna.
You forgive me. I've got a disclaimer here. I haven't done class in a long time. I'm not so used to this. I used to be kind of more on the circuit. So, if there's nothing else, then we can close up for the evening. Pushkar Prabhu is giving class tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
die. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
You're welcome. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and close out for the night? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.